We're in Acts chapter 14. We're down to verse 21. And they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. And then they returned to
Lystra
and to Iconium and to Antioch. They were in an area
Lystra,
remember, in the last lessons. But notice it says they made many disciples. Notice the emphasis was not on made many believers or got many people saved. You generally do not find this terminology. Again, these are more modern terms, and I'd have to say in many cases they are modern perversions. When people use the word believers and saved, it seems to be what happens today. It wasn't meant that way back then. But they're trying to make a distinction between those who are disciples and those who are just believers. And this, again, is a false teaching that's prevalent in the present church age. It was prevalent during the last several centuries. It's a false teaching, as we've said over and over again, that people believe some Christian doctrine and they profess this mental assent to Christian teaching, and therefore they believe that they are Christians. And as I've said countless times before, that is the majority of the Christian world, of what's called the Christian world, and it is a false Christianity. It has no basics on Christ's teachings, nor the early church apostolic teaching. Again, they've gotten away from what being a Christian or a disciple meant. And so, as in many cases with many things, it's been watered down to make it acceptable. This is how, over the centuries, many of these so-called Christian denominations and churches, they grew, and they had many numbers. But if you study the history, you'll find in most cases, this was not true Christianity they were coming to. Even in the 3rd century, when Catholicism became the legal and the appointed religion, they called it Christian, but it was basically the beginning of Catholicism, everybody was commanded in the empire to be a Christian, so everybody became a Christian. They just didn't change their other religious beliefs. There was no conversion. There was no true change of heart. There was no work of the Holy Spirit. There was no conviction. There was no enlightenment. Nothing was worked in them. They simply adhered to whatever their leaders commanded them to do. And this was done throughout Europe, even during the 15th, 16th, 17th century, when you had large groups of Lutherans and Anabaptists and Protestants up in the Scandinavian countries in Germany. They would war with France, and they would war with Italy, and they would go back and forth, and they spent most of the time fighting over a mental assent religion. So when a certain prince, many of the Germans, remember the Germans were not a nation until around Bismarck's time. They were many principalities. They had an emperor. They elected their emperor. But they had many millions of people. France had 17, 18 million. Germany had as many. Sometimes these princes would war and battle, and they would take over. And so to get more money and to get wealth, the support, they would take pensions, they called them. They would take money from the Catholic kings, and they would convert to Catholicism. And they'd make everybody in their kingdom adhere to Catholicism. And then when the Lutherans won, and when Cromwell and them drove the Catholic king out of the country because Catholicism had been greatly outlawed as a whole since Bloody Mary died. When she brought such persecution and burning of the Protestants, the English people had enough of this, and they would not tolerate a Catholic ruler that was going to bring back these things. And so when they chopped the head off of their first king, and then after Cromwell, and he was mixed with the Puritans, he was in league with the Puritans, the Scots, they were very anti-Roman Catholic. But they were Protestant religions, and in many ways they were just as bad, they just believed in another system. People were commanded to go to church, they were penalized, beaten, fined if they didn't. Well, see, again, this is no basis in true Christianity. This was false religion. And again, this is much of what most Christianity today comes out of. Again, it was a warring of religious ideas, a religious, what we would say, theology or beliefs, and the people as a whole were forced to do what their leaders told them to do. We read today how so readily when they intermarried the royal families, they would intermarry, and if one was Protestant or Catholic, they would just convert to that religion. We would see that as hypocrisy today. But back then, again, because the religious system was so ingrained to the everyday political situations of the people, they didn't see this as being bad. The people as a whole were whimsical, and whoever was in control and made them prosper, they was willing to accept these things. So what we had was, after Charles II died, his brother was a Catholic, and he would not convert, and he was secretly trying to bring in Catholicism to the degree that he had troops from the King of France, and therefore they had a what we call a mini-revolution, and they drove him out of the country, and his Protestant daughters, who were married up in Holland and so forth, and Orange, they took over. They were invited to be the rulers. So it was all political, and much of this is today is what we're saying. Much of the doctrines you hear today come out of these movements. And so the great denominations as a whole come out of these movements, and they have been perpetuated. But again, their foundation was not apostolic teaching. Therefore, you will find in many of these denominations, many traditions, many teachings, as you will in Roman Catholicism, that have nothing to do with Scripture. Again, they were traditions. They were doing the same thing the Pharisees did at Jesus' time. Over so many centuries, they began to lay aside the Word of God for their own tradition, emphasize their own rules at the expense of God's sound teaching. So it has not changed. So most of the religion today that is considered Christian, according to apostolic teaching, we would have to say is false. It is demonic. And again, this will be many of the millions and millions of people at Judgment Day that will be saying, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus will say, "I never knew you." They were never regenerated. They were born in a system. If you're born in the Roman Catholic Church, you are considered a Christian immediately. You don't need to convert. You're a Christian the rest of your life. They get their evangelism mainly by breeding. And again, in many Protestant denominations, it's the same. They've taught a system where if you're a baby and you're christened in the church, you're considered a Christian. Even at certain age, some of them will let you take communion and various things. But again, it's a system, and they're all part of the same world, Antichrist spirit behind them. It is not apostolic teaching. It is a form of, it is a Jezebel system. The great whore mixes with everybody. So today, when you hear the word in much evangelism of getting saved and being believers, they do not emphasize discipleship as being a requirement, a necessity, or a part or the beginning of what true Christianity is. Therefore, you'll find in their doctrines and their teachings, they will talk about what a Christian is, and then if a person is not living according to Christian principles, they'll simply say, well, they're not a mature Christian, they're carnal, or they're a baby, or they're going to lose their rewards, they're not a disciple. These are doctrines of demons. These people are not saved. And again, in the early church, believers and people of the way, that was the term they used among themselves. And they used terms that meant they believed in a continuation, a commitment to follow the Lord and His Word and to be led of His Spirit. They never put an emphasis on even a person's beginning in Christ. Their emphasis was, were they continuing in Christ? Were they growing in grace? And that is basically the foundation of Paul and Peter and James and Luke's and the other epistles. That's the foundation of their epistles. If you study these epistles properly, you'll find a good 40% of the exhortations is for Christians to stay in the faith and remain faithful to God and not fall away through sin, the world, and the devil's temptation. But today, you do not find that. Because if you believe in a once-saved, always-saved theology, or a mental ascent theology, then you can nullify a good portion of the epistles that the early church apostles and prophets laid down as being sound doctrine. So that's why we're where we are today. If you were to poll most people in America, over 75 to 80% would say they are Christians. They are believers. But if you poll these same people and ask them, and if they were going to be honest with you, whether they were disciples of Jesus Christ, I dare say you wouldn't find 15 to 20% that would claim to be. And of those, many of them would be deceived. They would think they were serving the Lord because of their own evaluation or their own beliefs of what God requires of them, but it is not in harmony with the whole of Scripture. So again, we are seeing that they made many disciples. And again, Jesus' great commission for his apostles and disciples in the beginning that he laid down to them before his bodily ascension into heaven was to go into all the world. Again, he expected the gospel to be offered to all the nations. And he said, and to make disciples of all of these people. Anywhere you go, preach the gospel, give a witness, and those who respond will become disciples. Notice he didn't use the word here, believers. He didn't say make believers. He said make disciples, and he didn't stop there. He basically explained part of what a disciple is. He says, teaching them to observe everything that I told you. He never once said, give them the seven scriptures to show that they're Christians, how to become a Christian. Never once did Jesus or the apostle ever do what many of these tracts and many of these evangelists are doing today, because they didn't believe in it. They didn't take God's word out of context. They believed that you got the foundations, the main foundations, and you had to progress. You had to keep learning. You had to grow in grace. You had to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and you could only grow by obeying the Spirit and the commands that Christ gave us, either directly or through the apostolic apostles and prophets' teachings. And this was basically, again, what he expected. So he said, to teach them to do all that I commanded you. And again, he made it plain later, and we'll get there again. When people called him Lord, Lord, he said, why do you call me this if you do not do what I tell you to do? See, he minced no words with them. Today, ministers pacify and spoon-fed, and they excuse people in their sins because they themselves often believe in a mental assent, false Christianity. And they believe that that's all that's required. And it make it easy. And if you lower the standards in anything, you can always pass people through. But at the end, they'll find out that these people did not have the qualifications to do what they were supposed to be trained for. So if the doctors and those rocket scientists and all of these kind of people, if their teacher simply said, oh, I'll just give you an A, and now you go out and build a rocket, well, these rockets aren't going to fly, and they're going to blow up because these people don't know what they're doing. And so we had the same thing with many people professing to be Christians when they are not Christians. And many, as Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will follow it. And Jesus himself said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. So we have false shepherds, blind guides, as Jesus called them, teaching people and deceiving people who are willingly wanting to believe these things. And many of them accept this readily. But notice the end result is they're going to fall into the ditch. Doesn't matter what they confess. Doesn't matter what they believe. It has not been sound. It has not been based on God's word. And as the Lord himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It will judge. Everything will be judged by his word, not people's opinions, not people's misconceptions or distortions of what God calls Christianity. So again, they made many disciples. Again, many preachers today and many people in so-called Christian meetings, as a whole, they are not real Christians. And again, I have to differ greatly that most people who call themselves Christians today, I do not believe they are. And many have grown up in denominations and what we call local churches, never even having been taught sound doctrine. And sometimes I take a harder view. I believe that they believe wrong things, and that after 20 and 40 years, how can someone claim to be a Christian who never even knows what basic foundational Christianity is? When I talk to people and they've claimed to be Christians 20 and 30 years and they're not led of the Spirit, they don't know what God's saying to them, they use terminology that is false. Well, I hope I'm doing my best. Everything is on a whims or a hope. There is no witness of the Spirit. There is no guidance of the Spirit. I cannot accept it as being ignorant baby Christians because Scripture refutes this. The problem is that most of these people were given a false Christianity, and that's what they believed. And again, they have not been enlightened for two reasons. They're not seeking to be enlightened, and often there is not sound teaching out there. So with the combination of the two, they're both responsible. So again, it's a false assumption. Many people that believe that they are believers or Christians simply because they believe certain things about what Christianity teaches. So people have been steeped many times in a watered-down, mental-assent, feel-good religion, and it is false, and at its source, it is a demonic revelation that he had given people. These are spiritual matters that we're dealing with. Many of the ministers, so-called, today, not only are false, they are not qualified to teach and preach the true gospel because they don't know what it is. The congregations will sit year after year, and they'll have Bibles in their laps each Sunday, and yet they are willingly deceived because they never grow. Why don't they? It cannot always be blamed on the minister and the teacher. It's because they're not hungry. They're not searching for the truth. They're lazy. They're willing to let someone tell them they're okay. See, again, it's the heart of the person that reveals often what they get or what they do not get. And they remain blinded year after year. So again, I've said firmly, and I believe this, that those who claim to be true Christians, there has to be some kind of Christian growth. They cannot be Christians or baby Christians for 20 and 30 years. This is contrary to Christian doctrine. It is unacceptable. Even if people began and were true Christians, they could not stay that way unless there's bearing fruit and progression in grace and in obedience and knowledge of the Lord. Again, this is nonsense, this is foolishness, but this is what the false shepherds are confirming so-called Christians in, making them comfortable, making them feel that no matter what they do, God loves them unconditionally, and it doesn't really matter what they do. It's all grace, and no matter, we all fail, and we're all sinners, and somehow God's going to overlook it all, and that's what they want to believe, and that's what they are believing. But it is a wrong gospel, and as a large, most people are in that state, and then you have some who may have known the Lord at some depth, some place at one time, and they've been caught up in the system. We would use the word, they are backsliders. They have gone back into the world. And again, if you do not progress in obedience and being led of the Spirit, you are backsliding. See, many people think, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm not in gross sin. That is not enough. Of course, gross sin will keep a person out of the kingdom, and it will refute their Christianity. But that is not all that's involved. There has to be, on the positive side, a being led of the Lord, of listening to him, of communicating, and finding out what his will and purpose is. As Paul would say, these are the sons of God. He means the children of God. It's those who are led of the Spirit. And most of these people, if you talk to them, if you ask them if they're being led of the Spirit, they want to wonder what kind of tree you came out of. They don't know what you're talking about. Many of them don't believe you can. They just, well, I just do my best, or I just read the Bible, and I just try to do my best. Well, that isn't what Scripture said. Scripture implied there had to be a leading of the Spirit, and there had to be a willing, willful acknowledgement of the commands and requirements of Christ and an application of them. And so then you will find that many do not fall into that category. Furthermore, we have today, in the age we're living in, we have more written Scripture, as I've said constantly, than Peter and Paul had. We have the complete Bible. Even most people in the West have it in their homes, even if it's gathering dust. Throughout Europe, you cannot hardly go to any home or America that there isn't a Bible or has been a Bible in that home. And yet most of them may not ever be read, but that shows you at one time it was available in its simplicity. And even then, people did not bother to seek it out or inquire. This reason, again, we will find that there is a, and again, it's the times we live in, that is why, it's one of the reasons, there is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. That is a reason why many will not today endure the truth or sound doctrine when they get it. It is getting darker. and it's getting riper out there spiritually for a great delusion that's coming. And people need to begin to, especially Christians, to discern the times that we live in. Ultimately, there will be a person, an antichrist person, who will be inspired by the devil, and the multitudes of the world are going to follow him. But they were not deceived overnight. They weren't clear and righteous and understanding. All of a sudden, this person spoke to them and they were converted. No, they were ripe for conversion over the many decades and so forth. They were trained. They were warped. That's what makes them easier. If you're deceived on certain doctrines and certain things, it will lead you into deeper deception. This is why it's been my policy. I don't listen to those who I consider are off in a major area. If they're teaching what I consider a damnable doctrine, I don't care how good they are in other areas. I will not read from them. I'm not interested in what they have to say. Because ultimately, they are being moved on by a demon and by a spirit of the devil. And even the devil will quote scripture when it suits him. He will throw out a few truths if he can hook a person with the lie. Remember, the scripture says that Paul said, why are you surprised or amazed that even Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of God? That's what he means. He doesn't come saying, I'm the devil and I'm going to destroy you and I'm wicked. Oh, no. He's deceived the majority of people with false religion and false Christianity. And he succeeded very well at doing this. Okay, so the simple people are kept in darkness. During Christ's time, it's interesting. He lived at a different time. People don't want to see it. But when he came forth with his ministry, he stated a truth. He said, the fields are white to harvest. That cannot be said today. If we understand what Christ's prophecy says and how the end time is turning, you cannot find that as being as a general statement. There'll always be people available for conversion and the gospel if they'll listen. But it's not like it was. We are living toward the end where it's going to get spiritually darker and people are going to have more Bible knowledge and more intellect, and yet they're going to be further deceived than the people and the ignorant people at Jesus' time was, because we live in a different age. Again, the world now, a good part of the world, is ripe to be led into a great delusion. They have been hardened. They have been rejecting the word when they have it. And again, when this Antichrist spirit comes, they will be ripe and ready to jump on the bandwagon at this time. Again, they're deceivers, and we need to understand, and many Christians do not, they cannot discern the times, the seasons, and the signs of where we are at. And so they are applying things sometimes to another age, another time, or another action that the Holy Spirit is doing. We're on the tail end in the early church, and Christ was offering the foundation, and he was moving in a different way. Now he is sending a famine of his word on many of these nations and people that at one time had Christianity available to them. Again, we have to believe that if Jesus says it's going to be as the time of Noah and Lot, and even himself, he said, and when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? He didn't mean faith just to believe things. If you understand the context, he meant the Christian faith. Will he find sound Christians when he returns? That tells us that he's seeing and foreseeing a dark time where, again, he used some hard scriptures and said, if God did not shorten the time or intervene because of the demonic activity, that the very sound Christian would not survive it. But see, it's his grace that he will intervene before too much darkness overtakes them, because he's promised there has no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God will make a way for you to escape. And that's what he said to one of the churches, the seven churches. It was Philadelphia. He said, hold on to what you have. And he said, let no one take your crown. And he said, you have endured, and therefore the Lord will keep you from that hour. But notice, many people today are looking for the second coming, and they have not endured. They are looking for an escape to go to heaven when they have not and are not following the Lord in the present. And they think somehow that they're going to be taken, and they're going to escape these things. And Christianity and the scripture does not teach this. So again, those who are, and that's where, again, people don't understand that statement, but John once said in Revelations toward the end when he was writing the book of Revelation, said, he that is holy, let him remain holy. And he that is unclean, let him remain unclean. It means when the time comes and these great events happen, it is no time to get right. Whatever state the person's in, if they have been deceived and they have not been following the Lord, they're not going to all of a sudden get converted. It's not going to happen. And those who are faithful to the Lord will see what's coming, and they will endure by God's grace and word what will come upon the world at that time. So again, we live in a time when truth is offensive and people are rejecting it and do not want it. We're not dealing with a time when the truth wasn't even out there and wasn't even being given to people who had no concept of what the revelation of Christianity was. So we're living on the other side. And again, the scripture tells us what's going to happen toward the end of this age. The Apostle Paul himself said the Spirit speaks plainly, expressly. He implied that he was giving a prophetic word while he was saying this, that there will be great deceptions and great falling away from Christianity, and there will be demonic spirits that will be teaching false doctrines, and many will come in the name of the Lord doing these things. But coming back, we said, and I believe it's happening, that God is sending a famine of the hearing of his word, and it's a warning that we need to take seriously, those who are true Christians. Let's go to Amos, what they call one of the minor prophets, not because he was minor, because of the writings and the epistles, and they didn't have much to say to the whole church, and they were called for certain times and seasons. Some of them didn't write at all, but what we have, he would be considered one of the minor prophets. But if you read what he has to say in his many chapters, there's nothing minor about it. Okay, chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, and the word here is for Jehovah, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of a hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Notice two things here. First, it's a famine of the hearing of the words of God. It does not say a famine of God's word. For we can honestly say, in general, that's not true at the lower level. It's simply not true. And there is a distinction. Most people in the West and in the world have had a written scripture, and now with the internet, even the nations that are not Christians, they have everything available to them on many issues. Even Iran has the most people that buy on the internet than almost any country in the world. Isn't this interesting? A Muslim nation. China rapidly is growing in this area. There's availability out there for people who are searching and who are seeking, even at the lower levels that they are. So scripture is available even during this dark time. There are available things if a person was seeking the Lord. But he noticed he's going to send a famine of the hearing. And this means that God, in many cases, is preventing. You have to understand this. People don't want to believe this. He is preventing or withholding the Holy Spirit's illumination, and he is the one who opened scripture. That's why I never put an emphasis on the written word of God without the Holy Spirit, because it's dead. It has no spiritual value. People will argue the point, it cannot produce life. The word itself teaches this. The written word is from the Holy Spirit originally, and it takes his influence for it to become life. That's why Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. He said, the flesh profits nothing. Well, his flesh profited ultimately, but in itself it did not. It was his sacrifice and the way he obeyed the Lord that the means was used that his flesh and body was acceptable. But apart from the Spirit guiding him and him obeying the Lord, he would say the flesh profits nothing. And I've said over and over again, the written word of God will profit you nothing. You may get mental assent and you may be able to quote scripture back and forth. It can never produce spiritual life in itself apart from the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is the revealer, the illuminator. He is the one who gives spiritual life. And so we have to understand it. This is why we've said the written word, in a sense, becomes prophecy only when the Holy Spirit acts on it. And prophecy can only produce results when the Holy Spirit acts on it. And that's just the spiritual principle. Okay, let's go. We were there recently, but we need to go back again. Luke chapter 24. look at verse 45. And it said, and he, referring to the disciples when Jesus resurrected, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Even his disciples in his earthly ministry could not comprehend certain things. He said, until the resurrection and until he sent his Holy Spirit, he gave them enlightenment. And these were people who were following the Lord and the life that they have, revealing that only the Holy Spirit, only Christ can reveal spiritual matters. Again, this is why Paul spoke and prayed that people would be spiritually illuminated and given spiritual understanding. Because otherwise, again, the written word of God is like the law of God. It is of the letter in itself, it killeth, or it produces nothing. The law, again, could make nothing spiritual. But the law, under God's inspiration, could enlighten, could encourage, could point people to the higher way. So again, it was always dependent on how the Holy Spirit acted on his word. That was the only way that spiritual life could be produced. That's why I constantly emphasize that mental assent to scripture cannot save a person, nor can it keep a person. Again, there has to be the scripture for the Holy Spirit to act on it. There has to be some truth of God's word, or the Holy Spirit will not move. The scripture says the Spirit and the word, they agree. The danger of people who look for spiritual experiences and they have no understanding of the written word of God, they open themselves up to a counterfeit. They open themselves up to demonic counterfeits, angels of light, things professing to be of God that are not of God. So you can see why God set the order that the Spirit and the word must agree. And the second part of Amos, you notice what it says, they will roam everywhere seeking a word or the word from the Lord. Again, it doesn't say they were seeking with a sincere heart to know God's will to do it, because at the time he was speaking and who he was illustrating to, they weren't doing this. Again, they would seek out prophets and they would seek out a word from the Lord, but it was always to appeal to their selfish desires. It was not to do what God required of them. And we have this much today, many people looking for a word from the Lord, where if they got the true word from the Lord, it would be repent, you need to get saved, you're not even a Christian. And of course, they wouldn't want to hear that word. They want to prosper, they want to be blessed, they want to be special. They want what the corrupt nature wants. It wants its own way, and it wants to escape judgment. That's always the corrupt nature. But see, these same people that he's talking to, they're getting the same results, and they're acting like the people now of our time. And so again, we have to constantly remind ourselves that this is where we're at. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For that time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. It means they won't put up with it. They'll either refuse to listen to it or they will refute it, is what it means. And it says, because they have itching ears, or backing up, it said they won't endure it because they have their own desires. Notice what it says here. They have their own desires. The word desires and lust here, coveting. They have itching ears. It says they will heap to themselves. They have the authority and they will do this. They will pay and seek ministers and teachers and evangelists to tell them what they want to hear. And this is very common today. There's big money in it. Many of these well-known ministers, male and female, if you even scan some of their programs sometime, they make money and they become popular and you'll see what the people want because they're giving it to them. But it is not sound doctrine they're being given. Everything is to appeal to the carnal nature. It is to appeal to the earthly satisfaction. It is to appeal to the luxurious lifestyle and a person's the pride of life and their ego, which the apostles in Christ called of the old nature. That's the sad thing. They want false teachers. Oh, they don't want to believe they're false. They want them to lie to them and tell them that they're okay. And they are getting this, and they're being getting what they are seeking for. There is a spiritual principle of reaping, of sowing and reaping, and that's one of them. When a person refuses the truth and pursues error, God will give them more error. There is an increase in this. So as I've said before, that's why I don't listen to certain people who teach major heresies. I don't care what good they have to say, because they are ultimately under the inspiration of the devil. And they have nothing that they can help me with. You know, if you're a Christian and you have the Bible and you have understood various things at a certain level, you should be past wanting to be pacified by false teachers. Again, we'll get to later what kind of people and even beginner Christians, how they fall into this and what happens to them because they listen to these things. Again, these people are ripe to be deceived because they are willingly looking for falseness. They do not want the truth. They are seeking the word, but they're hoping it's the word that they want to hear. Kings often did this with the prophets. They would ask for counsel from the Lord. And when the prophet would give them the counsel they didn't want to hear, they would persecute them. They would attack them because they didn't want to hear it. They were hoping for a lie. They wanted to believe a lie. They didn't care what the truth was, as long as you will tell me something I want to hear. And it's called vanity. Many people in the fallen nature, apart from the Holy Spirit, there's a tendency of people to want to be flattered, to want to be told that there's something that they're not. It's called pride. It's called the pride of life. And they're willing to lie to themselves and deceive themselves to get this flattery and to get this worldly honor. Let's go ahead and take a break here.